From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour will be made on television screens across America on Sunday, February 24th, the night of the 91st Academy Awards. This year's broadcast will be shorter than that of previous years, and that's because the Academy has decided to cut four categories from the broadcast. Awards for cinematography, film editing, live action short, and makeup and hairstyling will be presented during commercial breaks. According to Variety, the Academy made the decision to try to reverse a downwards ratings trend for the annual broadcast. The ratings for last year's ceremony was the lowest in 44 years. The move to cut categories from the broadcast has led to backlash among diehard film fans and industry professionals. Many of them say without cinematography and film editing, there'd be no film. Well, it's just kind of true, right? It's just one conversation among many circulating about this year's awards, which remain hostless. No one's called me either. Following a controversy with Kevin Hart, who was in line to take the job, the ceremony is set to move forward for the first time in 30 years without an official MC. And how about the films? The last few years, low-budget and eclectic films like Moonlight and The Shape of Water? I have to try to say that without laughing. That was a weird one. Have garnered awards and attention over mainstream films, but this year the studios are back in the running with films like Green Book from Universal, A Star is Born from Warner Brothers, and the record-breaking Black Panther from Marvel Studios. So if nothing else, perhaps the drama related to the ceremony will draw in more viewers. What about you? Do you watch the Oscars still? Are you like some critics who say the ceremony is still too long and even boring? Our guests weigh in this hour with all things Oscar-related. We'll get their predictions for who will take home awards this year and more. Joining us in studio, the film critic for City Newspaper, Adam Lubitow's back. Always nice to have you in studio. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Bree Merkel is artistic director for The Little Theater. Nice to have our colleague from The Little. Nice to have you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And our former colleague, who is now just a film nut and, oh, by the way, the owner of Jackie Photography, Jackie McGriff. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I love this. We were talking before the show began. Our panelists have seen just about everything. I'm the only one on the table who's seen Vice. which is nominated for Best Picture, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the only one that you guys missed. It's so exciting, and that's the only one I've seen. So, yay! But this hour, listeners, we got some clips to play for you, and we want to hear from you about kind of what stands out and what's the biggest controversy. Adam Lubitow, what annoys you the most going into the Oscars? There's always something that annoys you. I mean, like, everybody gets annoyed by some controversy. A snub.
The snub I'm most upset about is If Beale Street Could Talk not getting picture and director. That was one of my favorite movies this year, and the fact that it didn't get those especially, that was really upsetting to me.
Okay. Brie?
No women in the best directing category. Yeah. It's a big one for me. I think that Marielle Heller for Can You Ever Forgive Me deserved a nomination there.
Okay. Jackie?
It was the fact that Adam Driver got a nomination for BlacKkKlansman and John David Washington did not.
Yeah.
And John David Washington is the lead actor for that movie, and he did an incredible job, and Adam Driver doesn't really have... I mean, he has a significant amount of screen time, but at the same time, the performance I thought was amazing was that from John David Washington.
What does Adam Driver say in a spot like that when you feel like your colleague who didn't get nominated maybe, and he's kind of like, thanks, great, now I get to feel awkward about it. It actually puts him in a hard spot. And I think there's a number of cases like that. We'll talk about who did get nominated and didn't deserve to and who didn't get nominated but should have been. And we're also, nobody mentioned at the outset, the Fred Rogers documentary, which was somehow not on the list of, Won't You Be My Neighbor is not nominated for Best Documentary. Come on.
Yeah, that was definitely the most shocking snub, that, mm-hmm. since, that had the critical acclaim in the box office, and usually
yes.
that is the recipe for Oscar nomination, and how that didn't make it in is baffling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I don't understand.
Did you see it, Jackie?
I did. I cried the ugliest of cries watching that movie. It was amazing, and the fact that it didn't get it, that and Three Identical Strangers, which is another one, that was just, it was just like reveal after reveal, and you're just like, I can't believe this is a true story. But yeah.
All right, so I'm going to ask all of our guests, this is the tradition here on Connections, what should win Best Picture, what will win Best Picture? We do have some clips to share with you based on what they are choosing. Adam Lubiteau, you start here. What should win Best Picture? What will win Best Picture?
This is one of the rare years where my answer is the same for both. I think Roma should win, and I think it will win.
Okay, and for people who didn't see it, and that's a lot of people, tell us about Roma.
Roma is directed by Alfonso Cuarón. It's a story about a family in 1970s Mexico City, and it follows them through the course of the year, seen through the eyes of their live-in housekeeper and nanny, Cleo, played by Yalitza Aparicio, who's a nominee for Best Actress.
So should win, will win is Roma.
Yeah, that's my pick.
Is that the consensus from critics, that they think Roma's the odds-on favorite?
I think it's this year especially, I feel like it's been neck and neck between a whole bunch of things. And I feel like that's generally the consensus.
If there's anybody betting, which nobody does for money because that's illegal.
Of course,
no one would ever do that. But if they're betting for fun and they had to pick a not going to be Roma, if Roma doesn't win, what do you think it's going to be? And I'm not saying should. I'm saying if Roma doesn't win, what do you think is most likely to get that statue? Wow, it's that hard.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's I feel like it's been, there have been a few movies jockeying for that spot, and
maybe this
I'm gonna say A Star Is Born.
Oh my gosh, I was gonna say I thought A Star Is Born does not have a chance to win Best Picture. You're saying it does.
I think it's still in there.
Oh.
It's a story about, you know, the Hollywood, and people still kind of like that and want to celebrate that at the Oscars.
Who has ever told that story before? I don't know, maybe the previous movie called A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
Okay, Brie, should win, will win.
Okay, I am going to agree that Roma will win. Should win? I actually think if Beale Street Could Talk, are we going by something even if it's not in the category?
You can
at
give
all?
Me both. You can give me, if you had
okay.
to choose from the list, then you can go outside.
Okay, so I'm going to say if Beale Street Could Talk is what should win, Roma will win. And I guess in the list, what I think should win, I'm kind of torn about this one, but I think Black Klansman, yeah.
Hmm.
I would love to see that movie win.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jackie.
So what I hope to win would be Black Klansman as well. If Black Panther ends up winning, that would be amazing. What I think will win, I would also have to say Roma. Mind you, I haven't seen Green Book, Roma, or Vice yet, which I need to take some time and actually watch those, which I will before the Oscars. But I think from what I've read, at least, I think Roma might take it. But then again, anything goes at this point, I think.
Well, I don't hear a whole lot of optimism that Vice could win, even though Vice is on the list. And that's the only one at this table that our panelists have not seen, but I have seen, and I see so few movies. So I'm excited to tell you that I don't think it should win, but I do think Christian Bale was pretty remarkable as Dick Cheney, as the portrayal, just as the sort of the imitation of Dick Cheney was remarkable. I'm stunned that Sam Rockwell is got a Best Supporting Actor nomination for George W. Bush. He is an absolute cartoon in this movie. He's not, I mean, it's kind of funny. And let's listen to a scene from Vice where Christian Bale's Dick Cheney is talking to Sam Rockwell's George W. Bush. Now, in this scene, which might be apocryphal, and it might have happened close to this way, Dick Cheney has been helping recruit possible VP candidates for George W. Bush, but decides that he'll take it. Now, George W. Bush wants Dick Cheney to take it, but Dick Cheney doesn't really want a ceremonial job. He wants power, and he convinces George W. Bush to give up the power in this scene over barbecue. Let's listen.
I want you to be my VP. You're the solution to my problem.
I'm CEO of a large company. I have been Secretary of Defense. I have been Chief of Staff. The vice presidency is mostly a symbolic job.
Right, right. I can see how that wouldn't be enticing to you.
However, the vice presidency is also defined by the president. And if we were to come to a different understanding.
Go on.
I'm listening. I sense that you're a kinetic leader. You make decisions based on instinct.
I am. Mm. People always said that.
Yeah, yeah. Very different. Very different from your father in that regard. Now, maybe I can handle some of the more mundane jobs, overseeing bureaucracy, managing military, energy, foreign policy.
That sounds good.
So it's a funny, it's actually a funny scene. It's not a funny actual outcome, given that it's meant to be somewhat historical, and I think Adam McKay feels that way. I just don't know why Sam Rockwell is nominated. He's not in the movie very much beyond this scene and one other scene. And if that makes you laugh, okay, but I don't get why you get a Best Supporting nom. Though Christian Bale as Dick Cheney, I'm not surprised to see him as lead actor. So let's go around the table. You haven't seen Christian Bale. I'm the professional critic telling you he was great. I don't know that he wins Best. Bradley Cooper, Willem Dafoe, Rami Malek, and Viggo Mortensen are nominated. Should win, will win.
Ooh, I think it's going to go to Rami.
For Bohemian Rhapsody, Freddie Mercury.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's been the favorite. I mean, all of the award ceremonies, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but all the award ceremonies that I've watched up to this point has been pointing to him as winning. And so I think he will win. As far as like the other, because I haven't seen, Willem Dafoe, he was nominated for,
Eternity's Gate?
Yeah, okay. See, and that's another one I haven't seen. So I feel like I'm kind of stuck because, again, like I haven't seen If Beale Street Could Talk, but I would think that perhaps like in that there would be someone also,
Stephon James. Yeah,
yeah.
He would be my pick.
Right, yeah. And then also, again.
But if you can go outside, what pick do you want? Who would you love to see win?
John David Washington, I mean, again, for Black Klansman.
For Black Klansman, not nominated.
I just remember sitting there in the theater, like the credits are rolling and I'm not moving. It's an amazing performance. I watched it again over the weekend with my mom and I was like, I can't believe he didn't get nominated. Yeah.
Okay. Brie?
I think that I agree. Rami
heard it both.
Okay, Rami Malek is gonna win for Best Actor, but I'm gonna actually say Willem Dafoe for this one. I thought he was really, really amazing in that movie and in all movies that he's been in.
And sometimes that happens. Sometimes it's kind of a lifetime achievement nod for a great role that might be on the border of winning, but hey, you've never won. We're going to give you the statue.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why At Eternity's Gate didn't get a whole bunch of nominations, but that doesn't mean that he wasn't absolutely excellent in it. So I'm going to go with Willem Dafoe.
Okay. Adam Lubito.
I'm going to echo everyone else. I think Rami Malek is going to win, even though that upsets me to my core.
You didn't like the film?
I did not, no.
Oh, we'll talk about that in a second, but who do you think should win?
It's tough because, as we've said, I haven't seen Vice, and I have heard that Christian Bale is fantastic in it, so he gets the asterisk. But I think of who's actually in there, I think I would actually go with Bradley Cooper. I thought he was great. Yeah. Even though I wasn't as high on the movie itself, right. I thought he was pretty fantastic in it.
Well, they all think that Rami Malek is going to win for playing Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody. We got a clip from that film, and this clip is about the making of the song Bohemian Rhapsody.
Galileo! Galileo Picaro!
How was that?
Higher.
Can you go a bit higher?
If I go any higher, only dogs will hear me.
Try.
Galileo! Galileo Picaro!
Higher.
Jesus, how many more Galileos do you want?
One more, one more.
Galileo!
One more.
Galileo!
Again. Go on, roll the track. Who even is Galileo?
Are we done?
That's it. He loves you.
Yeah.
who even is Galileo? Someone says in that clip. I'm looking at Jackie. We're just dying of that. You didn't laugh at all. You didn't like this movie.
I had a smirk. It's amusing. I don't know. The movie...
Actually, a lot of critics didn't like it. Why didn't you like it?
So many things. I mean, just as a movie, I felt like it was like the most basic formulaic biopic. Like, it's a filmed like Wikipedia entry of Freddie Mercury's life. And that's just the easiest way to make a movie about somebody. And I wanted something more from it. I mean, and then on top of that, you can get into things like the things that changed, which I understand and I expect from movies, but the things that they changed about his life so clearly came from the fact that other band members were still involved in the making of it. And
what's an example?
Just the way they portrayed his sexuality as that, like, what led to so much friction within the group and led to kind of, I mean, within the context of the movie, his downfall. And while portraying the other band members as sort of these almost saints. Like, there's literally a scene where Freddie Mercury is throwing, like, this big gay party, and his bandmates come, and they're like, oh, how are you doing? Like, they're so aghast at what he's doing, and he's living like a rock star. And I so don't believe that they came in and literally, as they do in the movie, say, oh, you're doing all these drugs, none for us. We want you to come back down the straight and narrow and work with us. And it so clearly painted them as the good guys, and what he was doing as the, you know, ruining the band.
Oh, lots of bands have people walk in and be like, oh, look at all of the things at this wild party. None for me, thank you.
Exactly.
But can we sit down and have a little bit of a talk about why this is wrong?
Yeah, you know? I don't buy that.
You don't buy it at all.
And it just rubs me the wrong way when they're the ones involved in the making of the movie.
It almost feels like, oh, this scene was written by...
Exactly.
Did you give editorial control to the surviving members of Queen?
Yep.
I think they admit that the surviving band members had a lot of say in how
everything was done. They absolutely did.
Okay. Did you see it?
I did.
Did you like it?
I enjoyed it. I can see what Adam's saying about, like, being very formulaic for sure. I mean, I was like, yeah, like, I liked it, but I wasn't like in love with it. It was like that. Yeah. It was kind of like the cookie cutter standard of a biopic.
Yeah.
Like, and I enjoyed it for what it was, but I wasn't like, it's not like on my, you know, top list of favorite movies of, you know, this year.
The music is so good that it's probably easy to get fired.
Yeah. I'm just going to say, and that's the thing. Yeah. Like, it's still a movie about Queen filled with their music. And, mm-hmm. I mean, who doesn't love that music?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so Bohemian Rhapsody. Could it win, by the way? Could it win Best Picture?
I don't think Picture.
No.
I think Actor is where it's going to get its award.
Okay. All right. So, and by the way, Brie, overall, your take on it, because we got one liked it, but didn't think it was like transcended the world, whereas Adam thinks it's the worst thing that's ever happened.
This one I actually didn't see. I didn't see this one, but that does not keep me from having many opinions as you heard. So.
Would you want to go out and see it?
Yeah. To me, like, this one was a once it's out on, you know, demand kind of thing. It wasn't something that excited me, honestly, because I'd sort of been keeping up with all of the controversy surrounding the movie long before. You know, I mean, there was so much history to this movie.
I was also going to say, we can get into the behind-the-scenes stuff of Bryan Singer and all that.
Yeah, that as a fan of Queen, I mean, I have such low expectations for it after reading everything that I've read about it, you know. So I will watch it once it comes out on demand.
The category of lead actress has five women. For some reason, I've got a note on my paper that says six women, but there's five that I'm seeing. Lady Gaga, Star Is Born, Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me, Olivia Colman, The Favorite, Glenn Close, The Wife, and Yalitza Aparicio for Roma. Should win, will win. Adam.
Should win, I would go with Yalitza Aparicio for Roma. Oh, will win, I think it's going to be Glenn Close for The Wife.
Okay. And would that be an injustice? I mean, how was Glenn Close good?
She is. She is my favorite part of that movie. The movie I thought was hit or miss for me, but she is so good in it that I don't have a problem with her winning.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree that Glenn Close is going to win, probably. I'm actually kind of split. I think Yalitza should win, or I'd also be happy with Melissa McCarthy winning, because I obviously was a big fan of Can You Ever Forgive Me? I've mentioned it a few times now. So I think that she's just like a chronically underrated actress. So I just love, maybe it's just personal and my love for Melissa McCarthy, that I think it would be amazing for her to be recognized in that way.
What's the film about?
Can You Ever Forgive Me? It's about a writer, and I can't remember her name. I'm sorry. It's been Lee Israel. Thank you. She basically starts forging kind of letters from other famous writers, and sort of the walls kind of closing in around her. And, you know, it's just a really good character film, I think, you know. And what's the her sort of best friend in the movie? He's nominated as well,
Richard
right?
E. Grant.
Richard E. Grant.
They're so good together.
Yeah, they're so amazing together. And I don't know, I thought both of their performances were amazing, and I loved the story. And I believe it's based on a true story, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And sorry, Adam is my expert in all things. I just keep looking to him. And I saw it like back in September, and I just thought that it was such a wonderful film. So it stayed with me.
I think people will see the name Melissa McCarthy and go, whoa.
Yeah, that's the other thing, you know. She is capable of so much and definitely gets to show that range in this film.
Okay. Jackie should win, will win.
So I think it's going to be Glenn Close for The Wife. I loved that performance. She's a force in that movie. However, I haven't seen So Can You Forgive Me? Can You Ever Forgive Me? Because that's one I really wanted to see. I'm going to actually agree with Bree here. I think she's very underrated. I mean, I think a lot of people see like the comedy aspect and everything. And,
of Melissa McCarthy? Yeah.
Yes. But I'm like, you know, her more serious roles, she's outstanding. And so, I mean, yeah, I would be happy with the win from Glenn Close, but also I'd be happy to see, you know, either, you know, Melissa McCarthy win or Yalitza. Thank you. Yeah.
And Melissa McCarthy so rarely gets to flex those more dramatic muscles that when she does, she's so good.
Yeah.
Well, there is Olivia Colman from The Favourite.
She's great too.
So, and there are two in the supporting category for The Favourite, Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz for The Favourite. The Favourite is a film that I did not see, but can I ask producer Megan Mack to grab the mic? Did I hear you talking about it? Did you see this? Can you do that? I want to hear your take on this first, because I think if I only heard you say one word, I think I heard you say it was weird. Did I hear you say it was weird? Yeah?
Okay, so as we transitioned the technology back here, I couldn't hear anything as I was switching the board with Rob.
I would say I want you to start this on the discussion of The Favourite, because I haven't seen it. I know you saw it, and all I heard you say was it was weird.
Well, I did say that, but I truly enjoyed it for a reason that I didn't expect, because at the end I sat there with so many questions, and everybody's nodding their heads in the room. I think it's a love story. It's a film about love and power, and I'll have our guests describe it. They could do it better than I can. But there were so many interesting questions that it raised. And at the end, my friends and I that I went to see it with were so confused by the ending. I would love to hear what all of you think. But yes, I thought it was weird, but I was moved by it. I really was.
It's nominated for Best Picture. It has nominations for Lead Actress and two for Supporting.
Mm-hmm. So, Megan, to give you some peace of mind, the two other films that he's done that I've both watched and both thought, oh my God, this is so weird, were The Lobster and was it The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which was also so weird. Like I remember, like at the end of the film, there's an actor in there who I no longer trust, because I'm like, any other thing that he's in, I'm like, no, I'm sorry, you gotta go, buddy. I don't trust you at all.
The most menacing eating of spaghetti you've ever seen on screen.
Oh my God. So if you have a chance to watch The Killing of a Sacred Deer, please, even if it's just one time, because I think that's all I can do for that movie, because it's just so, I mean, it's good, but you're just like, yeah, I'm only watching this once, because this is all I can take. But yeah, so no, The Favorite is, I think, I don't know. It's a lot less weird, I think, than the Killing of a Sacred Deer, but it's about, would you say it's like on par with The Lobster? Or
I,
maybe
I feel
less
like
than.
This is the director, Yorgos Lanthimos, a grief filmmaker. I think this is his most accessible movie, which is saying something because we're still saying it's bizarre.
Yes.
The look on producer Megan Mack's face when Adam Lubito said this is his most accessible.
Yeah. If you haven't yet, definitely check out The Lobster.
Yes.
If it's, you want.
Yes. So Rob likes The Lobster.
It's akin to if someone said, you know, Megan, Alcatraz is the most accessible place that I can think of. Did you like it, Adam?
I loved it.
You did
it's
love it.
It's so good.
Adam loved it. Okay. And can I just read the actual description of what this is about?
I was going to say, let's talk about the synopsis, but before you read it, Evan,
yeah.
I thought it was so funny.
Yeah,
hilarious.
There's so many, that's the funny part.
It is hard to make me laugh out loud in a film, and I laughed out loud so many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it really impressed me.
Brie?
Okay, so I'm going to be honest about something. I only saw half of The Lobster. I saw the first half. I thought that it was very funny.
Was that by
And I
choice?
Knew it was going like to... Yeah, well, you know, I work at a movie theater, and I actually end up seeing halves of a lot of movies. It's just kind of something that comes with the job sometimes. So, you know, you think you're going to watch a movie, something happens, or, like, sometimes you just want to sneak in and watch a little, and then... So I only saw the first half. I think it was about the first half. I thought it was really funny. I thought the acting was amazing. But it is really weird. But having seen his other movies, I knew it was going to be really weird. Like, Megan, have you seen the other two? Okay.
I haven't.
So I think, and
Rob has.
Rob loves
Engineer
both.
Rob Brady saying thumbs up.
So if you had seen them, you would have absolutely known that it was going to be weird, like, going into it. And then I think it's not... I agree with Adam that it's his most accessible, probably. So I cannot comment on the end, you know, besides the fact that it would probably maybe be spoiler alert for a lot of people. But also, I didn't see the end. So now I want to ask Adam after we're done. What
So here's your synopsis. It's early 18th century. England is at war with the French. A frail Queen Anne, played by Olivia Colman, occupies the throne, and her close friend Lady Sarah, played by Rachel Weisz, governs the country in her stead while tending to Anne's ill health and mercurial temper. When a new servant, Abigail, played by Emma Stone, arrives, her charm endears her to Sarah. Sarah takes Abigail under her wing, and Abigail sees a chance to return to her aristocratic roots. As the politics of war become quite time-consuming for Sarah, Abigail steps into the breach to fill in as the queen's companion. Their burgeoning friendship gives her a chance to fulfill her ambitions, and she will not let woman, man, politics, or rabbit stand in her way. And in this clip, Lady Sarah gives Queen Anne some makeup advice. The clip represents their relationship and how Sarah is in charge. And at the end, Anne is talking to a servant.
I'm ready for the Russian ambassador.
Who did your makeup?
We went for something dramatic. Do you like it?
You look like a badger.
Oh.
Are you going to cry?
Really?
Well, what do you think you look like? Badger. Do you really think you can meet the Russian delegation looking like that?
No. I will manage it.
Go back to your rooms.
Thank you.
Did you just look at me? Did you? Look at me! Look at me! How dare you! Close your eyes!
Okay. You chose that clip, Megan Mack.
There were very few clips that were appropriate. There's a lot of profanity, but the context matters.
Yeah,
right?
So. Is this a love story?
I think it is. And how much do we want to reveal? I should ask Bree, Jackie, and Adam that, because that's central to the plot. So I don't want to spoil it.
Jackie, is it a love story?
I mean, I would think so. Yeah. I mean, I think I've heard or seen some like describe it as like a love triangle. Like,
So it's a love triangle.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's a love story of sorts, but it's complicated because there's also power mixed in there.
Yeah.
And so there's the blurring of the line between what is the motivation.
Okay. It's always love triangle, by the way. It's never love tetrahedron. It's always a triangle. So the favorite is the film. Olivia Colman nominated as Queen Anne for Best Actress. And again, Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz are both in the supporting category. Also in supporting, Amy Adams for Vice, Marina de Tavira for Roma, Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk. Finally gets on the list, If Beale Street Could Talk, Adam Lubitow. So should win, will win in that category.
Regina King should and will win. She's kind of run away with all of the awards leading up to this. So I think she's the clear front runner. And this also gets into the weird category fudging with the favorite. And since Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz are, I would say, are also leads in that movie. And I would argue they even have more screen time than Olivia Colman. Mm-hmm. The studio at some point decided they had a better shot in supporting, so that's where they get stuck, even if it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Okay, Brie?
I actually agree with Adam completely, yeah. I think that Regina King should definitely win. She was amazing in If Beale Street Could Talk, and fingers crossed she will win.
Okay, Jackie?
You guys took the words right out of my mouth. I think they should give it to Regina. I really don't think it's fair to just pit Rachel and Emma against each other, because I'm like, they were both amazing, and I'm also like, they're also kind of leads, and I feel like anytime they ever do that in a movie or in the awards where there are two people from the same movie vying for the same award, it's I don't think it's fair.
It splits the vote. And I was going to say, they're almost guaranteeing that neither is going to win.
Right. Exactly.
Interesting. After our only break of the hour, we are going to come back and talk about the fact that somehow Michael B. Jordan did not get nominated in supporting actor. We've got a clip from Black Panther to play for you. We're going to talk about the director categories. We'll talk about some other issues as the Oscars is a couple of Sundays away. And I do want to ask our guests as well about taking these four categories and doing them during commercial break, which is just Jackie McGriff looks like she's not thrilled about that either.
I have a lot of opinions.
Jackie McGriff is a film nut, the owner of Jackie Photography. Brie Merkel is the artistic director for The Little Theater, where you see all of your films. Adam Lubitow, film critic for City Newspaper. Let's get that break and come right back on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, the New York Times has a story on the phenomenon of voters saying, I would definitely vote for a woman for president, but just not that woman. The Times looks at perceptions of sexism and what happens when women run for president. There are already six women who have declared their candidacies. We discuss it Wednesday on Connections. Welcome back to Connections. Teresa emails the program and says, Evan, it seems to me the Academy loves to award actors and actresses portraying real people, whether it's their best performance or not. Sandra Bullock for The Blind Side, for example. Reese Witherspoon as June Carter Cash in Walk the Line. And Teresa writes, so she played the auto harp. Big deal. So she goes on to write, so the Freddie Mercury guy will probably win, Rami Malek, even though Bradley Cooper gave an outstanding performance. To me, it is much more impressive when an actor can create and inhabit a fictional character than to mimic a real person, but I'm not a member of the Academy. From Teresa. Adam Lubitow, what do you think?
I think that's absolutely true. And I think that's largely because, I mean, there are different types of acting, you know, originating a character versus playing a real person. But awarding a performance for playing somebody real is easier because there's that metric of you can put them next to the actual person and be like, they did a really good job impersonating that person. I can see it. Like, they look that part, they sound that part, so that there's that easy, like, yes, so that was a good performance in, you know, the most basic of terms.
Like, yeah, it's an interesting email because when I think about Christian Bale's Dick Cheney, I think, boy, that really was remarkable. But then I think, well, so what? Dick Cheney is a real person, so you look like him, so you sound like him. Though what I do think was pretty remarkable is Bale's performance, and probably some of the writing, and give McKay and the team a little bit more credit on this, is more nuanced than you expect. Yeah. He's very protective of his daughter who comes out, and you see that scene. He has a very breaking the fourth wall, blunt moment at the end where he turns to the audience and delivers a line that I bet you Dick Cheney himself says, yep, I would have written that and said that. So that it's more nuanced. It's not just a cartoon villain version of it. But I do take the emailer's point. I take Teresa's point there that, okay, so you're going off something that you can look up. She wants something more created from a blank canvas. What do you think, Bree?
I mean, I agree that, yes, it does make it easier, I think, for that nomination, the same way you were saying you can compare it against something. But something that actor still has to inhabit that character. Those lines still have to be delivered and resonate in an emotional way. I mean, I think that, you know, getting someone's tone and mannerisms down is a kind of work of art on its own. So being able to do that effectively is something that should be rewarded too.
Yeah. And I don't want to say that, you know, that's, it's easier on the actor, and just say in terms of, you know, quantifying that performance from you know, an outside perspective, there's, it makes it easier to, you know, have the contrast of the real person to put up next to it.
Yeah. Okay. Jackie.
I think, to her point as well, I mean, I agree with everything that's been said, you guys. I mean, we're all on point as far as, you know, taking on a role that is about like another person versus a fictional person. But also to the end, I think the Academy, among so many other things, you know, that they could do right, I think giving more consideration too for those films that are very original. I mean, one of my snubs was, or actually, and this wouldn't be an original because it's an adapted screenplay, but it's not based on anything real. Was Annihilation, which was another film that came out early 2018, and even though it is like something that's taken from a book, these are fictional players, and you're playing on something that's like, it's this whole like sci-fi.
Is that
sort
the
of...
Natalie Portman film? Mm-hmm.
The Natalie Portman film. Oscar Isaac is in it, and I can't remember. It's the same.
You liked it.
Yeah, I liked it, and so I feel like every year we get to this point where we have like a lot of these biopics are coming out, and that's usually the one where, you know, people say, oh, that's, you know, obviously that's going to be up for, you know, best actor or best actress or best picture, because, you know, it's a biopic and it's something that, you know, the Academy can look to as like kind of like a reference, you know, for the things that we consider or, you know, considered really, really good films. But I think too, like, the Academy really should just kind of should really consider all the other original and just really difficult. Not to say that, you know, it's not difficult to play a real person, but at the same time, just looking to those narratives, those stories that are more original and more, I guess, you know, difficult to come by, especially from an actor standpoint.
I definitely think the Academy has habits they get mm-hmm. into, like certain things they tend to reward more than others. Like mm-hmm. they like people playing characters with disabilities, they like playing, you know, actual people. Mm-hmm. And they also, in terms of what they don't reward, getting back to Annihilation, they, mm-hmm. you know, have a habit of not rewarding genre movies like science fiction or horror. Like those, occasionally there are rare ones.
Yeah.
That pop up, but on the whole, they sort of don't see them as, you know, serious movies that they should be, you know, singling out for recognition. And I think, so, you know, something like, yeah, Annihilation or Hereditary, people kind of thought maybe mm-hmm. it would break through, but again, that horror barrier was too much to overcome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Annihilation seems creepy enough. There's you can find hours-long loops of just the four notes of music that's the theme of it. So if you just want to haunt your dreams or just never sleep again, congratulations, it's on YouTube. And let me read another email that came in, and this is from Edward. He says, I was pleased to see so many nominations from films released prior to Labor Day. For many years, great films and performances released early in the year were ignored by Oscar. Regarding John David Washington, being snubbed seems to run in the family. His dad deserved an Oscar 25 years ago for his role in Philadelphia, but didn't even get a nomination.
Amen. That's all I got to say about that.
Interesting. Yeah. So thank you for that, Edward. I appreciate that. Yeah, I think they even colloquially call it Oscar season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there you go. Let's go ahead and listen to a clip from Black Panther, because I thought one of the great snubs was Michael B. Jordan. I thought he was phenomenal as Eric Killmonger. In this scene, Killmonger is challenging T'Challa. Let's listen.
Teta, speak. I'm standing in your house.
serving justice to a man who stole your vibranium and murdered your people. Justice your king couldn't deliver.
I don't care that you brought Claw. Only reason I don't kill you while you stand is because I know who you are. Now what do you want?
I want the throne.
Hey, you, the tuna.
Y'all sitting up here comfortable. Must feel good. It's about 2 billion people all over the world that looks like us. But their lives are a lot harder. Wakanda has the tools to liberate them all.
And what tools are those?
Vibranium. Your weapons.
Our weapons will not be used to wage war on the world. It is not our way to be judge, jury, and executioner for people who are not our own.
Not your own. But didn't life start right here on this continent? So ain't all people your people?
I am not king of all people. I am king of Wakanda. And it is my responsibility to make sure our people are safe and that vibranium does not fall into the hands of a person like you.
Son, we have entertained the charlatan for too long. Reject his request.
Oh, I ain't requesting nothing. Ask who I am.
You're Eric Stevens, an American black operative, a mercenary nicknamed Killmonger. That's who you are.
That's not my name, princess. Ask me, king.
No.
Ask me.
It's Eric Killmonger, Michael B. Jordan, and in my lay eyes, that should have been a nomination for supporting actor. Should it have been?
I mean, if he were nominated, I would definitely agree. Yeah, like he should be considered for that. I was though waiting for a nomination back when he did Fruitvale Station, which is when he's playing someone who was very much real, is based on a real story, of Oscar Grant, who was shot down by police in the San Francisco Bay Area, and that performance to me was like, there's no way he's not getting a nomination for this. And of course, the Oscars came and there was no nomination. So I feel like Michael B. Jordan has been long due for a nomination.
Okay, Brie?
Yeah, I think so. I think that it was a really great performance. And I think it's really hard almost to be objective about something like Black Panther in a Marvel movie. You know, there's just like so many things that go along with that, that it's hard sometimes to break out like individual performances because there's so much going on in that movie. But when you were playing that clip, it was definitely really resonating with me that he had a very nuanced performance as Killmonger. And I mean, he's, as Jackie said, he's just an excellent actor in everything that I've seen him in. So,
Adam?
Yeah, I absolutely think he should have been, you know, in the mix for that performance. I'm glad that Black Panther managed to sneak into a bunch of categories, especially Best Picture, which is the first superhero movie to ever be nominated for Best Picture. And to Bree's point, I think that movie ended up being such an ensemble piece. I do think that because of his performance and that character, he was sort of the standout amongst a host of great performances in that movie. It was such a rich character for him.
He could have been such a cartoon villain, and yet they created a character who was deeply pained, wounded from his own past history and abandonment. And certainly you don't condone the violence or, you know, sort of his behavior, but you understand the pain and the loss and the rejection and all of the things that made it so much more complex and interesting. I just really had a great appreciation for making a character as opposed to a cartoon or comic book villain.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, he's, you know, one of the best villains that any of the Marvel movies have had because of that, you know, you see where he's coming from. And I think that's what makes a great villain.
All right, so supporting actor on the list of five, Mahershala Ali for Green Book, Adam Driver for BlacKkKlansman, Sam Elliott, A Star is Born, Richard E. Grant, Can You Ever Forgive Me, and Sam Rockwell for Vice, which we have talked about. So should win, will win, Adam Lubito?
Should win, I would go with Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me, because it was just such a wonderful, hilarious, and sad performance. Yeah. But I think Mahershala Ali is going to win for Green Book. And
okay, Brie.
Same. Sorry. I mean, I completely agree with that. You know, I could see that. I could see Sam Rockwell taking it, if I'm being honest, just because from my just completely my own opinion, I think that he's one of those actors that other actors and filmmakers just love. You know, I mean, he's someone who's really revered in Hollywood.
So this would be like a body of work award.
Well, in some way, yeah. And I think he already has one.
You see, he won last year.
Oh, was it last year?
Which is why I think that, yeah.
That's why I'm remembering people liking him. Yeah, no, but he is. He's someone that the Academy loves, and I think that he could get it, you know, and you're the one that saw it, and I know what your opinion is on it, but I could see it still coming through that way, definitely. Yeah, Richard E. Grant, I think, deserves it on this list.
Okay. Jackie?
I think Mahershala Ali will take it. As far as who I think should win, because, again, I haven't seen Vice or Can You Ever Forgive Me, or that of Green Book. I mean, I would say, I don't know, just like going based on like who, I mean, they're all great actors. I just think from what I've seen, clips that I've seen of Green Book, I mean, that would be my pick for right now.
Well, let's listen to a clip. When Tony Lip, played by Viggo Mortensen, a bouncer from an Italian-American neighborhood in the Bronx, is hired to drive Dr. Don Shirley, that's Mahershala Ali, a world-class black pianist, on a concert tour from Manhattan to the Deep South, they must rely on the Green Book to guide them to the few establishments that were safe for African Americans. And in this clip, Tony is in jail for hitting an officer. Don, that's Mahershala Ali, is lecturing him.
As my mother always said, what kind of brand new fool are you? Look at them over there. Take a good look at the officer you hit. Look at him. He's over there having a grand old time chatting up with his pals. Enjoying a nice cup of coffee. And where are you? In here with me, who did nothing. Yet I'm the one who pays the price. I'm the one who's gonna miss the Birmingham show.
Hey, I'm gonna lose a lot of money too if you don't play Birmingham.
So that little temper tantrum, was it worth it? Hmm? You never win with violence, Tony. You only win when you maintain your dignity. Dignity always prevails.
Okay, so there's Mahershala Ali, supporting actor category. Our panel thinks probably going to go home and take it. Director, since we're on our last 2 minutes, director Spike Lee, Pavlikovsky for The Cold War, Yorgos Lanthimos for The Favorite, Alfonso Cuarón for Roma, and Adam McKay for Vice. Adam Lubito.
My gut says Alfonso Cuarón, sort of paired with the picture win, but I think Spike Lee has a really good shot.
Okay, Brie?
Yes. I am really torn. I think it could be Spike Lee or Alfonso Cuarón. They both had amazing films, and I'd be happy seeing either of them on that list win.
Okay, Jackie?
Spike Lee, please.
Spike Lee, please. All right, down to our last 90 seconds. Those four categories, as we mentioned off the top, they're going to be shown during commercial breaks this year. The categories are cinematography, film editing, live action short, and makeup and hairstyling. Jackie, you seem particularly bothered by the decision not to let the audience see those winners.
Yeah, it's a punch in the face to those people, I think, because movies are very collaborative. They're very collaborative projects. And so everyone, all these creatives are coming together and they're going towards this common goal, which is making a movie. And I think the best movies are not only entertaining, but, you know, we come away with something. You know, there's something to be learned. And so to say to all those people that have worked so hard on the film, first of all, you wouldn't have a movie without them. But then to also just kind of like push them off to the side is just to me like a punch in the face. I mean, for the limited amount of like work I've done on a film set, like those are the people that are really, I mean, those are people that are also driving the the film forward. It's not just about the actors. It's not just about the directors. It's the people who are working on the look of the film, the people who are working on the hair and makeup, the, you know, just all of the behind the scenes stuff. It's really critical to, you know, making a movie great. I think it's just to shove them off to the side is just awful.
Jackie's going to drop the mic for the whole panel on that one because we are out of time, but we're going to see. Yeah,
there's co-signed.
And by the way, a really good tweet from Jimmy who just said, and this is a whole other conversation, would love to hear thoughts on how to revamp the Oscar voter pool. Recent reports of how non-diverse voters are. He's just talking about outside promotional value, you know, makes you wonder, what did the Oscars actually bring to us if they're not chosen by a more interesting, diverse, qualified pool? That's a whole other conversation. I think it's a fair point. A lot of nods around the table, Jimmy. Thank you for that. Well, we'll see if the ratings are up at all. Yeah, Bree?
One thing to say really quick. Yeah. The Little's having an Oscar party. If anybody wants to come and watch with us and talk about it, obviously Oscar night.
You February can find 24th?
February 24th. You can find details on our website.
Thank you, Bree. See you there on February 24th. Thank you, Jackie McGriff.
Absolutely.
Adam Lubito, we'll see your film critiques in City Newspaper. Thank you for the work here.
Thanks for having me.
Rob Braden, engineer, Megan Mack, producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Talk to you tomorrow.